And Claire is going to come and bring us our reading today. Thank you, Claire.
Good morning, church. Your reading can be found on page 1020, and it's taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 to 26. The Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, please do keep your Bibles open there. And this morning, we're thinking about the Lord's Supper. Usually, here at Cornerstone, we work our way through books of the Bible, or parts of books of the Bible, week after week. But for the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, we're just going to be thinking about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to be sort of flicking around the Bible a bit as we do so. So let's just pray, shall we, and ask for God's help as we do. Father God, for many of us, we've been sharing in the Lord's Supper for many years, for many decades. For some of us more recently, for some of us, it's not something we've partaken of yet. But Father, as we think about it today, help us to see more deeply what you mean for us to understand and think and do as we share in the bread and the wine. Clarify things in our hearts and make us more thankful for the bread and the wine that we can share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, the tablet is misbehaving itself. We will wait patiently. There we go. Thank you. So yes, we're thinking about the Lord's Supper. Now, some of us might know it by other names as well. Other names that sometimes used are communion or the Eucharist or the Mass. Some of those names are better than others, and we'll come back to names later on. But the Lord's Supper is shared in some churches every Sunday. In some churches, actually, it's shared in services during the week as well. Here at Cornerstone, we usually share it once every 3 weeks. And then in some churches, they share it once every month or every couple of months even. I know a few churches where they share it only once a year. But the Lord's Supper, whichever church you go, is clearly something which is an important part of doing church together. Our practice shows that. But our practice should always be grounded in Scripture. Our traditions are not the important thing. It is scripture that is an important thing. So we're going to go back to our Bibles and check out what the Lord has to say. And as ever, churches over the centuries have sometimes stuck closer to the Bible on certain things and have gone further away from the Bible. That happens on lots of things, and that's also happened in the Lord's Supper as well. And therefore, don't be surprised if there's a bit of confusion floating around about what the Lord's Supper is about. So it's good for us to look at it together as a church, but it's also good for us to look together at it individually as well, because it impacts many questions, but it could just be something as simple as you come forward and if you receive the bread and the wine, it should be, like, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking, that's a particularly stale loaf of bread Mike's using this week? Or I wonder what vintage the wine is. Or did I turn on the oven for Sunday lunch? Or I thought Christianity was all about a relationship with Jesus. And this bread and wine thing, it just smacks of religion to me. So the Lord's Supper, what is it? Well, the first answer to our question is the Lord's Supper, it's a meal. It's a meal. And we're going to be jumping around the Bible quite a bit today. And I'll be showing some of the verses on the screen as well. So you won't have to be flicking around your Bible. Actually, the first one is coming from our reading today, from Mark chapter 14 and verse 22. If you could just look at it with me there, please. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." You notice, this is part of a meal. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul calls it the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think of supper. In my house, I think of supper as if you're a bit peckish before you go to bed, you might have a cheeky biscuit. Or if you're feeling particularly posh, you might break open the cheese and crackers. Now, for other people, a supper is actually their full evening meal. Now, what is it? For us as a church, is it sort of like a symbolic meal of just having a bit of bread and a bit of wine, or should it be a full-blown meal? Actually, I don't think it matters. But in Scripture, you see actually both happening, whether it's more symbolic or a full-blown meal. But bread is shared, the fruit of the vine is drunk, whether that be wine or grape juice. The Lord's Supper is a meal. It's not a TV dinner for one. It is something that we do with each other, with fellow Christians. So it's a meal. But secondly, it's a meal commanded by our Lord. So we've looked at the Lord's Supper, Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper in Mark's Gospel. But Mark, as all the Gospel writers do, they don't tell us every single word that Jesus said. And Luke actually tells us a few more of the words that Jesus said. And so in Luke chapter 22, we're told this in verse 19. "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus says, do this. Eat the bread. Drink the wine. This is not an optional extra for Christians. You know, am I in the mood today? Or does it suit my personality to share in the Lord's Supper? No, it's a command from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be a good enough reason for any Christian to want to share the Lord's Supper. Jesus tells us. Now, he does tell us more. He tells us why it's a good idea to share the bread and the wine, and the type of things we should be thinking about, and the significance of the meal. He tells us all these things. And that's helpful and important. But like a teacher who tells a pupil, a pupil's on a chair in the classroom, and they're balancing on two legs. You remember? I bet we've all done it, been there. You know, you used to lean back and balance on two legs. And the teacher would say, put four legs on the floor. Now, that should be enough. It's an instruction. Now, the teacher could go on to explain, if you don't put four legs on the floor, you might fall over and injure yourself. Now, that's an optional extra. The command should be enough. The command from Jesus should be enough for us to want to eat the Lord's Supper. It is commanded by our Lord. Next, it's a meal about sacrifice and rescue. Back to our passage, please, in Mark chapter 14. And please look with me at verse 12. "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And then verse 16, we get told the Passover was prepared. So as Jesus, as he institutes the Lord's Supper, it is in the context of the Passover meal. So if you want to understand what the Lord's Supper is all about, we need to understand Passover as well. We need to go back and think, what was all that about? And in Exodus chapters 11 and 12, we get told there that God's people had been enslaved in Egypt by the Egyptians. And God has sent various judgments on the people of Egypt. Some of them were falling on the Egyptians, some of them fell on God's people as well. I mean, they were all sinners. But God wanted to rescue his people. He wanted to rescue his people from slavery, to bring them out of Egypt, into a promised land where they could enjoy worshiping him and having a relationship with him. So one last act of judgment was planned. God was going to send the angel of death over Egypt, over the whole land, and every eldest son in every household would die. But God's people, they had a way to avoid that death. And God gave them instructions through Moses, and those instructions were, get a lamb in your house. And then when I tell you, you need to kill that lamb, and you need to take the blood, and you need to go outside on your doorpost, over your front door, and you need to wipe that blood on that door, on your door frame. And then when the angel came to visit that night, and he was going over each house, on the house where the lamb had died, he could see the blood. Death had already occurred in that house, and therefore the eldest son did not need to die. A lamb had already died. A sacrifice had taken place. And that is what happened. I mean, God said this was going to happen, and it happened. And the Egyptians lost, every Egyptian family lost their eldest son that night. And God's people, the eldest sons were saved, and they were released from slavery. They were rescued. And it was wonderful. But for us, as we think about the Passover, even more importantly, he said the Passover's going to happen. It happened. But then he said, I want you to remember the Passover. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 24, we get told this. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Do you see how obvious God makes it? When the children ask about the Passover, this is what you're to say. This is what you're to remember. God gives them the answer. A sacrifice that God used to spare his people from judgment. The Passover is a meal about sacrifice, about turning God's righteous judgment away from the eldest son, but onto the lamb instead. But we're not finished yet, because Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3 says this. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. The Passover is also about rescue. Rescue from slavery. And not just any old rescue, because who's doing the rescuing? It's not the fireman, nothing against Elliot. Or it's not the Coast Guard. Verse 3, it's the Lord doing the rescuing with his mighty hand. The Passover, the meal to remember it, is about sacrifice and rescue. Yes, the Passover includes other things as well, but these are the big messages. These are the things that God emphasizes. And therefore, as Jesus at the Last Supper turns the Passover meal into the Lord's Supper, what are we to remember? A judgment-bearing sacrifice. Slavery killed off, We are now free. See, God doesn't leave us scratching our heads. What does the Passover mean? What's the meaning of the Lord's Supper? He tells us about the Passover. It is essential to this. So we've had so far, the Lord's Supper is a meal. It's a commanded meal by our Lord. It's a meal about sacrifice and rescue. But then next, it's a remembrance meal. It's a remembrance meal. And this is super duper important. Please look with me, Exodus 13, verse 3 again. Will be on the screen. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Now that word commemorate, some English translations have the word remembrance instead. The Passover meal was about remembering what God had already done. Remembering the sacrifice of the lambs that had happened at the first Exodus. Remembering the rescue from slavery and towards the promised land. And therefore, as Jesus then initiates the Last Supper as part of the Passover meal, what do we hear Jesus say in Luke 22 and verse 19? And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper is about remembering what Jesus has already done. Yes, the Passover helps show us that, but more importantly, about what Jesus has done at the cross. And we'll come on to that in a moment, but for now I just want to focus on this remembering. The Passover was a meal was supposed to help them remember. The Lord's Supper, as they ate and drank, is a meal that is supposed to help us remember. Now, there's some church denominations out there that they like to think of the Last Supper as a remembering meal, but they like to think of it as something else as well. They like to think of it as a sacrifice. They think somehow that when you share the body and the bread and the wine, that you're in a sense re-sacrificing Jesus or doing something similar to that. It's why sometimes in some churches you'll see church leaders doing various things with the wine and the bread and hands over it and a whole bunch of things, because they think there's something happening with the bread and the wine. Well, I'm afraid they're in serious danger of getting the Bible wrong at this point. Jesus' perfect, once and all for all death on the cross, on that first Good Friday, he dealt with all our sin. No more sacrifices are needed. And particularly at the Lord's table. Jesus did it all on the cross. There's no more lambs or cows or whatever is needed, whatever. Jesus' sacrifice was a sacrifice to end all judgment-bearing sacrifices. And therefore, when people sometimes call the Lord's Supper the Mass, it might happen in Roman Catholic churches or in High Anglican churches or some other denominations, they think that some sort of sacrifice is happening again. And as you think that, if a sacrifice is happening again, surely you're implying that Jesus didn't quite do the job on the cross that first Good Friday. And that is disastrous. And it also impacts the name. It's why we happily call it the Lord's Supper. We would never call it Mass here. And it's also why we're happy to use this as an ordinary school table. In the Bible, where are altars used? They're used in the Old Testament, where sacrifices took place. But this isn't a sacrifice. So it's just a table. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about the Lord's table. So that's why we don't call it an altar. It's why we don't call it Mass. Now, we put a cloth over it, so we're respectful. But when push comes to shove, it's just a table. And why? Because the Lord's Supper is about remembrance. It's not a sacrifice. Now, some of us might have come from church backgrounds where it was normal to refer to the Lord's Supper as Mass. Or you might have grown up very used to calling the table at the front of church the altar. Now, if it slips out, do not worry. We're not going to jump on you. Might go, ah! But I would encourage us not to use those words, because the Lord's Supper is about remembrance. But what are we to remember exactly? And our fifth point today is the meal about Jesus' sacrifice and rescue for us. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So as Jesus, as part of the Passover meal, as he handed out the bread and wine to the apostles, instead of focusing on the Passover, he focused on his own body and blood being given for them. The fact that he would be broken on the cross the very next day. A sacrifice that, we get told there, makes the forgiveness of sins possible. A rescue from the slavery of sin that we all suffer, so we can be free to live for Jesus and our loving Heavenly Father as a child of God. In John's Gospel, we get told that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrificial Lamb, bearing the judgment so we do not have to bear it ourselves. So no eldest son has to die. Or, to be honest, nobody in the whole world. Now, for many of us here today, we know this takes us to the very heart of what Jesus is all about, to the heart of Christianity. And it's why Jesus commands his followers, eat the bread, drink the wine, remember. Jesus sacrificed and came to rescue you, and even me. There's nothing more important in the whole wide world. And if what I've just said about Jesus' sacrifice and forgiveness and rescue, if you're sat there this morning thinking, I sort of get what Mike's talking about, but I don't really understand that, it's not making a lot of sense, don't worry. Just know this, to understand Jesus and what Christianity is all about, getting your head and your hearts around the reality that Jesus sacrificed for you, that he came so you could find forgiveness, so he came so he could rescue, are absolutely essential. Please come and talk to me afterwards or in the future weeks. We'd love to help you get your head around these things more. But just before we move on from this point, please note, Jesus died on the cross, verse 28, for many. He didn't die for himself, as if he enjoyed the pain or the publicity or anything like that. No, his sacrifice was to rescue other people. Even us. Now, there's so much more that we can say about the Lord's Supper, and we'll be continuing thinking about this further next week. And there'll be an opportunity for questions as well after the sermon next week as well. But before we stop today, just one last thought. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you come forward for the bread and the wine, what are we to think about as we eat and drink? The freshness of the bread, the Sunday dinner, something, anything about Jesus. Well, at one level, it's very simple. Remember that Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice in your place. As the bread goes down your throat, Jesus really did do this for you. As you taste the wine on your tongue, remember that Jesus died on the cross to redeem you from slavery, to be a child of God. Jesus really did do this for you. He really did. Not you doing something for Jesus, but Jesus doing something for you. It's so simple, yet it is amazing. It happened so long a time, it happened such a long time ago, but yet it becomes so immediate. It was a death for so many people, millions and billions. But it was a death also for you. The Lord's Supper is a precious gift from Jesus. Let's receive it as he wants us to. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you again, sitting, kneeling at the foot of the cross of what Jesus has done for us. And we can't come there too often, Father, because we so easily just get on with our everyday lives and the miracle that is Jesus' death and resurrection for us. Even though it's a huge thing, we so easily make it a small thing. And for that, we're sorry. But we thank you for the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going, actually, it'd be a really good idea for my people to remember, not just with their hearts and minds, but as they eat and drink as well. Thank you for the gift of the Lord's Supper. And we pray, Father, that as we receive communion today and on in the coming weeks and months, help us to anew see what a wonderful gift it is from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.